Good morning, if we could all come to order. We have some minutes here, and since I'm often not good at making sure that we formally approve the minutes, why don't we take a minute and...
Mr. Chair, I'd like to formally approve the minutes.
Thank you very much. Representative Fritz moves that we approve the minutes of the March 25th, 2009 meeting. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very much. Do we have more minutes in here?
No.
No? We're up to stuff otherwise. Mm-hmm. Very good. Representative Seifert, would you be, I see a gaggle of folks going, but do you want to start the presentation? Representative Sanders, would you like to move the SF-1477 bill to be before the committee, recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Commerce and Labor?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Sanders. Representative Seifert, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, thank you, and thank you to the committee for allowing me the opportunity for presenting this bill. What I thought was a very easy, small bill has gotten a little bit more complicated. But, Mr. Chair, I think we can work things out. Oops, this is the wrong bill, actually. It's the other one. Mr. Chair, this bill stems from the Gilfillan Estate, which is located in my district. Most of you probably know that about FarmFest, which is the largest ag expo in the upper Midwest, potentially the United States, I think, in terms of people coming together and talking about ag issues and ag demonstrations. What this is a small, what I would characterize as an overgrown picnic shelter that is on the east side of the campus. Before my father passed away, he actually helped get FarmFest to this particular location. FarmFest is for 3 days in August, Mr. Chair, and they have limited space, and so they'd like to add on to this picnic shelter, and it tends to be where they serve their pie and ice cream and coffee and things of that nature. They use it for things like family reunions, potentially outdoor weddings. They may have the reception in there. It essentially is a structure that is cement with no basement floor, no second floor. There is no stove or anything. They may use crock pots in there or something. But I would ask members to just think about a kind of a tin structure that's like a picnic shelter. They would like to do, and in your packet is a letter from County Commissioner Al Kokesh, who represents the home area. I grew up south of FarmFest, a couple miles on the home farm. They would like to add on to this facility because of the growing demands for people enjoying the grounds. There's some gardens there. There's some historic sites there. So when people have something like a family reunion or a class reunion, they like to use this facility, and they'd like to do the expansion. They have raised, Mr. Chairman, about $150,000 through voluntary donations. It's a very poor area. Gilfillan is not an incorporated city. It's got one or two houses with a couple people in it. So it's amazing they've been able to raise this much money voluntarily, but they are maxed out, and they really are done with their fundraising. The state code requires that if they want to do an expansion of the picnic shelter, they have to put sprinklers in it. I'm not an expert on this, but I've been in the facility many times, and my dad was there, and tin and cement, in my opinion, aren't real flammable, but I understand trying to have consistent codes is very important. One thing that you'll see in the letter from the county commissioner is that they did work out an agreement with Senator Frederickson to install panic bars on two of the doors, a fire alarm system throughout the entire facility, and that it would be insurable, which gives some comfort to us. There's some language that the department was working with Representative Mahoney, which I believe is an amendment in your packet. We're trying to keep this very narrow in scope, Mr. Chair, so we don't open this up to anything other than this one picnic shelter. But there's an amendment that Representative Mahoney worked with the department on making sure that they have exit doors that are double the size of what the minimum requirement is in case there would be any particular breakout of a fire or anything. And I have no problem with that. The second part, which I suppose is a little more controversial, is that if 25 people or more are using the facility, you have to have a fire pumper at the ready, a booster tank, and two firefighters. This was a little bit concerning because if you have 3 dozen people there for a class reunion, I had 38 in my graduating class at Cedar Mountain, which is the closest high school. I don't know that anyone would use this facility just because of the costs associated with that. But I am working, Mr. Chair, with the State Fire Marshal's Office, Mr. Straczynski, the department, Representative Mahoney, and I think between now and Representative Atkins' committee, we can, you know, potentially get that worked out on a more professional basis. Representative Solberg also has some language that he's been working on. So I appreciate, Mr. Chair, the committee's time in hearing this bill. I know it is a concern for some folks to do an exemption like this, but essentially the work will not get done, the expansion will not take place if this requirement goes through as current law requires. They just are they are maxed out in 75,000 to put in sprinklers for essentially a tin picnic shelter is more than what they can stomach. So we're trying to work out things that both sides can come to agreement with, so the committee process is for. I appreciate your time and your understanding. I believe there's some pictures that Senator Fredrickson's office has of the facility if you'd like to take a look there. They're having some technical problems with that, but maybe while they're loading that up, if we'd like Mr. Joachim or Mr. Straczynski to come on down and express any concerns they have. I want to make sure we keep this very narrowly tailored, and I do not want to have this be a vehicle for other folks trying to screw around with the fire code, and I want to give you my word, Mr. Chair, that you know, there are other members who like to tack things on for their buildings or their facilities or change the codes, they don't like them, whatever. We want to keep this as narrowly tailored as possible and make sure we kind of have an agreement on what we're doing. So that's kind of what the committee process is for.
There you go. Thank you, Representative Seifert. Representative Nelson.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to offer the amendment he was talking about that Representative Mahoney worked on. He asked me to put this on with the one that was just handed out with the handwritten part of number 3 on it about the structure and the exemption provided in this section must be approved in writing by the State Fire Marshal.
Okay.
Along with the rest of the amendment there.
And why do we have... One moment, please. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. So, Representative Nelson moves the S-1477A1 amendment. Would someone like to... For clarity, we need someone to offer the handwritten portion as an oral amendment so that the documentation going forward is consistent and correct.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Solberg,
I would offer the handwritten portion of this thing, and I think the clerk has that handwritten portion. What it says is that structure and exemptions provided must be approved in writing by the fire marshal. And let me just say my particular reason for that is I am not a professional fire marshal consultant or anything else, and I would feel much more comfortable if the fire marshal is comfortable with this exemption. And so I would offer that as an oral amendment to the Nelson amendment.
All right. Thank you, Representative Solberg. Representative Nelson.
And I'd incorporate that into my amendment, if that we can do that, or do we need to vote on it?
I think you... Yeah. Incorporating it is fine.
Yeah.
So it was the combination of some people shaking their head yes and others shaking their head no at the same time that threw the chair a little bit there. So we have before us then, thank you, Representative Nelson, the S-1477A1 amendment with the Solberg oral amendment incorporated. Are there questions to the amendment? Representative Seifert, to the amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I think for comfort of the committee members and for the Fire Marshal's Office, we will work with them to make sure that they are comfortable with this, so I don't have a problem. I told Representative Mahoney Part 2 seemed... a little stringent with the 25 people. I've got the pictures loaded up now in the building. It's got the tin roof and the tin sides, the oversized doors. And then inside, Mr. Chair, is essentially a cement floor with some picnic tables inside of it. It's a very wide area if you need to get out of there. It's basically big overhead garage doors. They're looking at doing an expansion on the south side, Mr. Chair. There's restrooms are separate from the facility. They're 500 feet away, so you know we don't have hand dryers that would cause problems of fire. There's no fireplace inside. There are no stoves inside. Like I said, essentially during Farm Fest, it's used for pie, ice cream, coffee, and donuts. During family reunions and class reunions, they have, several dozen folks that may rent the facility. These are the other buildings along Farm Fest on the north side of the campus where there's antiques stored inside. There's a historic site. Actually, State Auditor Rebecca Otto's husband, it is his aunt, who was Anna Gilfill and was the lady that had this facility. They owned many, many farms in Redwood County around where I grew up and had no children. And so they willed the estate over to the historic site for Farm Fest to have. And we use it as a very large tourism area. And before my dad passed away, he was out there every other weekend donating his time for free to sit out there for people to come and enjoy the grounds and so forth. So, Mr. Chair, the only building we're talking about is the one that you see here. The inside is the picture that you see on the right. I think we have some agreements. They're not going to crowd the picnic tables too close. Obviously, in today's day and age, there's a lot of regulations. I, feel awkward even coming here with a bill like this. To me, common sense should rule. But we also, when Farm Fest happens, there are potentially 100,000 or more people that come to the grounds. And so I do understand the fire marshal and Representative Mahoney's concern. And maybe the language would be during that 3 days of Farm Fest, that's when we have the gubernatorial candidates all come in, the senatorial candidates, the Secretary of Agriculture. It's a big deal. And I don't want to see anyone get hurt either. 3 dozen people at a class reunion, I know I'm a little awkward about that, but I guess we'll put the language on, and between now and Representative Atkins' committee, I think the department and the fire marshal are going to see if there's anything they could work out further, but go ahead with the amendment, and I think we'll, if we have any detail work, we'll get that figured out between now and the next committee.
All right. Representative Fulmer.
Can you go back to the inside picture, Mr. Chair, that one right there? My question is, I understand there's supposed to be some remodeling intended on this particular building, and are the plans to continue to have the type of doors that open up, the big doors, are they going to stay there, or are they going to be some kind of an enclosure and put that more of a permanent wall?
Representative
Piper. Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative Fulberg, the plan right now and the agreement that was made with Volunteers, Senator Fredrickson, and frankly, I think when we get to Representative Atkins' committee, I think we may want to have this in the bill, too, to actually get it in writing that the doors will be, two of the doors will be double, at least double the size of what the minimal requirements are for state law right now, for the fire code, just to make sure we have no qualms about that. And we do have agreement, Representative Fulberg, that the expansion of the facility will not have a furnace or heating or cooking inside of the facility, meaning that they're not intending on putting stoves. And there's one thing Representative Mahoney was concerned about, was there was going to be multiple stoves, burners, or grills for things like burgers, and they agreed that they would not do that because that would be an internal fire hazard. So anything that they would have with cooking of that type would be done in outdoor grills or in a separate facility where they bring it in. That doesn't mean that they may not have a crock pot with weenies in it or something, but in terms of any type of open flames, cooking or grills would be outside of that. That may also be something where we would have to put that in the language as well, just to get that assurance. There are thousands of people that go through the main grounds for Farm Fest, and so we want to make sure that we have a safe facility. But essentially, I've been told by the volunteers that if we don't have some type of an exemption in place, they're just simply not going to do the expansion, and the local lumber yards won't get the business. We're going to have people are sitting around idle that could be working on this for a few weeks. And so I think if we can work together on it, I really do believe that we can come up with some good ideas.
All right. Sounds like a fine place for a good DFL dean.
Well, my question is, the doors that still go up, big garage-type doors, if you have a crowd there, would obviously give you a good escape. Are they going to be replaced and have a solid wall with just a couple of other doors? Are those type of doors and appeals may be maintained.
Representative Seifert.
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, my understanding is they'll have a minimal of two doors, double the size, without taking away from the ones that they have now. So they'll actually have a more safe facility once the expansion's done than what they currently have. Also, because they do not have a furnace inside there, they don't use it really in the winter time for the doors to, doors to be down for the most part, unless the weather is very windy or something to that effect. And I also should mention the Redwood County Relay for Life for Cancer is also done on this on these grounds as well.
Well, but Mr. Chairman, I did have another suggestion that I thought we could do, and that is, while it's occupied, I understand that you know, you have those doors to kind of stop the wind sometimes, but at least have one side open at any time it's occupied by over a certain amount of people would make sense to me as well.
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, for all the events that I've been over there for, which would be Relay for Life, Family Reunion, the Fun Fest in the fall, the Antique Demonstration, and Farm Fest there, I've never been there where one side hasn't been opened and opened up. You know, and I can talk with the folks down there to find out if there's some agreement they can have on that. But
I have an amendment for you that you can take carry to the next committee then.
Okay, we'll get that figured out.
Representative Seifert.
Mr. Chair, I did want to mention that when the there is an intent, I believe, to put in a restroom when the expansion comes in, because of the senior citizens that come in can't use the porta potties, and that was one impetus behind this expansion, was that people in wheelchairs and who are handicapped, the porta potty situation is just not good. And in the historic building, they don't want to rip out the historic nature of Anna Gilfillan's home because it's part of the tour and so forth. So they'd like to have one nice bathroom with wide doors and the like. And I will talk with them about paper towels versus an air dryer if people are concerned about fire hazard of some sort. But that is also one reason I remember that when I talked to the county commissioner, was the fact of handicapped accessible bathrooms. We have this many people coming through for Relay for Life with the cancer victims and for Farm Fest. It's very important that they have some type of modern facility to be able to get wheelchairs in.
Sure. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Seifert. As I'm looking at this, is there more doors along the side when this opens up, or do they just have the one roll, two roll-up doors that are on either side of that center window, and the underside, that door that's got the arch top in it that looks like a swinging door,
mm-hmm.
would be a fire exit. Is there another roll-up door on the other side of that?
Yes, Mr. Chair, there are those that would be facing on the north side, the two roll-up doors. There's what you would consider a regular door of like this size on the east side, which would be to the right on that picture, where they have the serving counter for the pie and ice cream, and then where the picture was being taken from, I believe there's an equal-sized door. That is where they're going to do the expansion on the south side, and that's where I believe they're going to be doing the oversized doors that will be bigger than those. So I think we have, especially if Representative Solberg's language on the fire marshals is in there, and I think that gives us comfort that they'll come down and take a look at all of that to make sure that the safety is there.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nelson.
So when they do the expansion, are they going to do the same thing, have roll-up doors so they can open them up? Because I'm just looking at this, and it's, you know, with picnic tables and that, if there's only openings on one side of the building, and there was a windy, rainy day, and they'd had those closed down, he's severely restricted getting out of there. And I guess that's the concern I would have looking at, without looking at a floor plan or looking at the whole pictures all the way around and actually seeing it. Just looking at those pictures, it looks like it'd be difficult to get out of there if there were a lot of people in there. And even though you say they're not going to set the tables up, people have a tendency to move those things around, and it would be, I'm just afraid of somebody getting trapped or getting just the rush of getting out, people getting injured.
That's a great question, Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson. The plan is, and what it was explained to me, was that from where the picture is being taken, they'll do a 48 by 76 expansion on the south side of the picnic shelter, and we'll have doors that would be double that size on the stretch on the south side. In addition to having the door on the east side, which is a little bit smaller, And they also have said that those doors are never locked either, so there would be no, you know, ability for someone, because, you know, that's where you end up getting kind of a trap, is when you either accidentally or on purpose have locked doors. And so we're trustworthy folks down there, and so I felt very comfortable. And of course, I'm down there all the time. It's in my district. It's by my hometown, my home high school. Al Mathewitz actually grew up 2 miles north of this site. So in looking at it, as Representative Fulberg said, I'm not an expert. That's why I think the fire marshal language is probably very smart. They're the professionals that can go through and say, hey, this looks good to us. And I think it's a good idea that he had to, let's have the professionals look at it and give comfort. Because if they don't have comfort, they won't give the approval.
Okay. Representative Nelson.
Yeah, that's my concern too. But I guess because roll-up doors are not fire doors, they're not rated fire doors. You get that at the out-swinging doors. I've hung one or two of those in my lifetime, so I've had a little bit of familiarity with them. And that's good. Even if it's a roll-up door and not locked, somebody may not have the ability to pull it up and roll it up. So that's but that just concern that of being able to get out of there. That's, and I think the fire marshal, I trust the fire marshal to be able to give suggestions of how to do it so that it's a safe facility. We do this.
Right. With that, any other questions or comments on the Nelson Amendment with the Fulberg language incorporated? With that, all those in favor of the amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Is there anyone in the audience wanting to testify either for or against Senate File 1477 as amended? Really?
Mr. Chair, I
just, it's unlike you not to testify on the bills here, so. Couldn't do that. Representative Mr.
Chair, in wrapping up, I did talk with the builders that, you know, we don't want any hitchhikers on the bill for screwing around with codes, and with Representative Nelson, Representative Mahoney, that this is an important issue. We want to keep it narrowly tailored. I also took the liberty, Mr. Chair, of not having the folks that 3.5 hours up to essentially explain what I just explained to you. I've been out there enough times. I know it like the back of my hand. For them to spend the gas and time to come up here. They were happy to do that. If we want them to come, Mr. Kokesh, our county commissioner, could come up for Representative Atkins' committee if people feel that they didn't get enough from me. He said he would be willing to come up for that kind of last committee stop if it would give anyone more comfort.
Mr. Chair?
And we also wanted to extend an open invitation for all the members to come to Farm Fest because it is kind of a political event, if you will. There's more politicians walking around sometimes than in the state fair. So it's a neat place to go. I'd invite all of you to come down for it, even if it's for a couple hours.
It seems like a large crowd, an easy fundraising opportunity for compliance. Representative Nelson.
Just a question. Do they have, Mr. Chair and Representative Pfeiffer, do they have a preliminary plan of what they want to do, a floor plan of their expansion? If they have that, that might be a good idea to bring, because then it'd be easier to visualize that this is where the doors are going to be, and you could see those, and I think would give more comfort. If I could see that, it would give me more comfort where the doors are going to be.
Representative Pfeiffer?
That's a great idea, Mr. Chair. Do you sit on Representative
Nelson's
committee? Okay, I'll try to get one to you anyway, but I know they have the preliminary sketches ready, and I think that's an excellent idea for the next committee.
All right. Representative Simon?
No.
No? Oh. Any other questions from members? With that, Representative Sanders renews his motion that Senate File 1477 is amended, be recommended to pass, and we refer to the Committee on Commerce and Labor. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very much, Representative Seifert. Get home to those kids.
All right, thanks.
Representative Fritz.
That was good. We actually think we did that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Representative Fritz. Would you like to move your bill?
Yes, I would, Mr. Chairman. If you would do that for me, I hope it goes to the floor. No?
Oh, no, no. Yes, you can move your own bill, and I believe it needs to go to the Committee on Commerce and Labor. My apologies.
Another stop.
All right, so Representative Fritz moves that Senate File 594 be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Commerce and Labor.
Correct. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Today we have House File 921 or Senate File 594. Mr. Chairman, members, this bill before you expands the application of the existing Safe Patient Handling Act to unlicensed healthcare facilities such as physician and dental offices. The current statute required the establishment of a work group to determine the ability to expand coverage of the Safe Patient Handling Act to other healthcare facilities. A report from that group was provided to the 2008 legislature. The bill before you is consensus language developed by that work group. The bill differs from the requirements of the existing statute in that it does not require the establishment of a patient handling committee. We have the establishment of a safe patient handling plan for those folks by July 1st, 2010 to achieve the goal of minimizing manual listing of patients by direct care workers by utilizing safe patient handling equipment by January 1st, 2012. And that pretty much explains, I hope, the bill and what the bill does. And I do have an amendment.
Would you like to move the A1 amendment at this time, Representative Fritz? And this would get the bill in the order you prefer?
Correct.
Thank you. Any questions to the F-594-A1 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Representative Fritz, you have testifiers, it looks
like.
I do,
and if there are any questions, they're here to answer them. If not, I think I hope that I explained the bill. If there's any questions, I'm open to them.
All right. Any questions for Representative Fritz or her testifiers? Seeing none, with that, Representative Fritz renews her motion that Senate File 594, as amended, be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Commerce and Labor. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Representative Dabney, welcome to your committee.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
And would you like to move your bill?
I would like to move House File 1685 be before the committee, recommended to pass, and be referred to the Committee on Commerce and Labor. With that, Madam Chair, the nice people from the auto dealership brought me this bill, and as I understand it, and they're here to correct me, current state statute puts a limitation in our minimum wage statute on how much employers can charge employees for their uniforms in situations where employees are required to wear uniforms. The minimum wage statute does not deal with the situation that is real for the auto dealerships with their uniformed employees, that it's not a purchase requirement, it's a lease and cleaning requirement instead, and that is codified in their collective bargaining agreement with both the Teamsters and the machinists, depending on which area of the metro that you are in. They requested that I author this bill that will, once I put the amendment on, essentially codify their collective bargaining agreement into state law. So why don't I move the A1 amendment at this time, Madam Chair, to get the bill in the form that I would prefer?
So moved. Everyone in favor of moving the A1 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The amendment is adopted.
Thank you. Madam Chair, I do have a testifier who could speak briefly and answer any questions.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name and go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Alyssa Philander. I represent the Minnesota Auto Dealers Association. Representative Dabney did a great job explaining the bill. It's just really, this bill just makes a small change to allow our industry to continue its current practice with respect to renting and laundering uniforms and how we split those costs with our employees.
Thank you. Are there any questions, members? For Representative Murdoch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Are there any other industries that rent the clothing? Are we singling out just the automotive people, or there must be other people that rent that too? Are they going to be covered by this?
Ms. Representative Gaddy?
Madam Chair, Representative Murdoch, the AA1 amendment does narrow this bill to only applying to the auto industry. Motor vehicle dealers on page 1, line 2 of the amendment, a motor vehicle dealer license, so on. So it does limit it to just that industry.
Representative Murdoch.
So are other industries going to come forward and jump onto this in the future?
Representative Abbey.
Madam Chair, Representative Murdoch, you're actually touching on some tension-filled areas around this legislation, perhaps inadvertently, perhaps not. This bill does amend the state's minimum wage statute, which has been a point of concern. And I cannot answer your question about other industries coming forward and also asking for modifications or exemptions. What I can assure you, however, is that the State Chamber of Commerce and the Hospitality Association have both pledged to me that they will not use this vehicle as a this bill as a vehicle to make any changes in state minimum wage, and the State AFL-CIO has also made the same commitment to me. I think it's fair to say, and Mr. Lander can correct me, but I think all parties on both sides of these minimum wage standards have agreed to allow this little bill to move forward unencumbered.
Yes, thank you.
Ms. Solander, any comments?
Representative Murdoch, I would just add, you know, we intentionally wanted to make this change narrow to only encompass our industry because we're recognizing there are lots of other issues surrounding this statute, and particularly with respect to both the minimum wage and with uniform issues. So we didn't really want to make this the all-encompassing uniform statute. We just need a tiny little change so that we can continue doing what we're currently doing.
The Madam Chair, Representative Murdoch, we can perhaps work on a uniform omnibus bill at another time. Or would it be the omnibus uniform bill?
Any other questions, members, for this on this bill? Anyone in the audience wish to testify either for or against this? Yep. Seeing none, Representative Dabney renews his motion that House File 1685 as amended be recommended, passed, and be referred to Committee on Commerce and Labor. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Nay.
Thank you very much.
Motion prevails. Get out of the way, Representative.
Members, if I may, Madam Chair, we do expect to meet one more time, obviously after deadline. The current plan is to hear a Lanning bill that comes out of the State's Commission to End Poverty. It was not intended to move this year, so holding it until after deadline and hopefully after the Red River recedes a bit more. Both seem to be timely, but it is an interesting approach, and I appreciate Representative Lanning's carrying it and the work that the Commission has done. So do expect at least one more committee hearing before the session is over.
Thank you, Representative.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
And thank you, members. We are adjourned.